could be a lot worse.
Oh, certainly. Yes, and we are rolling right along into our fourth season of Colt Gennaro Chat, Rob. Fourth season.
Holy moly, has it been that long? Where do the years go?
It has been that long. A 172nd episode, our fourth full season of production, and I just got to say, they have flown by. And everyone who's listened, provided feedback, joined up on our Patreon page, thank you. And you've kept us going, and this is... We're going to try not to get emotional, you know?
I can hardly believe that there may be people that have listened to at least most of them, because there have been some really random ones.
Yes, we're not
and
always.
And some highlights. The one that'll always come back to my memory is the Vitolo cast.
Of course.
That's the Mount Rushmore right there. That's number one.
Yes, every future podcast has been trying to reach those heights of the day, of the day when Atletico almost failed to get Vitolo.
The Jeremy Fury of the Vitolo signing.
Yes, I was not happy.
No, you weren't.
Leave it at that.
And then like 12 hours later, nope.
I'm going to be almost equally as unhappy if Angel Correa does end up staying.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what? I'm sorry. I'm not
now
trying.
Now that one I'll join you with.
I'm not trying to just, you know, come down hard on Angel Correa, but he will be Atleti's worst outfield player if he stays.
Well, he wasn't on the bench.
Yeah, he had that red card that he got against Levante last year.
Oh, God, yes. How could I forget?
Yeah, he and Costa would have been suspended anyway if he hadn't gotten hurt again.
Yeah, that was more predictable, I suppose.
Yes, and it's why Atleti need Rodrigo a little bit. Before we dive into the rest of the show, let's touch on that. Rodrigo did play for Valencia this weekend. He started, he captained the team, he nearly scored a goal. I was expecting him to score that goal, but it clattered off the post. Yeah, his future is still up in the air. It depends almost entirely on what happens to Correa. If Atleti don't lower their demands for him, then he's not going to go anywhere, and he's going to stay, and it's going to make me kind of unhappy because I don't think he's very good. But that's kind of the situation. Rodrigo, I think, is happy to stay at Valencia. Valencia obviously want to keep him. And, yeah, it's a tough situation because Atleti desperately need to sell in order to fund this. One, because they need the money from a Correa sale, and two, because they need to get under La Liga's spending limit. They're a wage bill limit.
Yeah, and, I mean, Atleti do have 20 million attackers at the moment, so... And Angel Correa is certainly the most valuable of that lot. Though it wouldn't surprise me also if Kalinic was to go out at some point as well.
Yeah, Atleti have had all summer to get rid of Kalinic, and nothing concrete has emerged.
No.
He spent the entire preseason at home. The window closes in a couple weeks, and there's just nothing on Kalinic. So maybe there's an Alessio Cerchi situation that's going to go on there.
Yeah, I mean,
and Atleti
could,
end up registering.
I wouldn't be totally shocked if there ended up even just being a loan,
which feels really wasteful. It's going to have to be a loan. And you saw Atleti did end up registering Hashime Risaliko.
Yep.
Yeah.
That doesn't shock me.
It doesn't, but I don't really know what's going to come of that. I think they may just loan him out again when he's healthy.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. He couldn't pass the medical now at this moment in time. I mean, whoever would take him would basically not be able to play him until December-ish anyway.
Yeah,
so.
He's going to be out till November at least with the knee injury. And he's
so you might as well wait till January to loan him if you're going to do that.
Yeah, he's not in Simeone's plans. Simeone already has two fullbacks, two right backs. Versalco can also play left back, and Atleti do need a backup left back. Maybe
yeah, it'd be nice if he was available next week.
Yeah. RIP Renan Lodi.
Yeah, that was a quick career.
and so ends the Atletico career of Renan Lodi. Oh, my.
Oh, man.
As we will... We will discuss. All right, now let's dive in. The whip around. It's back with a vengeance. Match day one is complete, and it was wild, Rob. Shock results. Lots of red cards. one of those shock results at San Mamés on Friday.
When, oh, man. When back in the set.
When Athletic beat Barcelona 1-0. First time, I believe, Barcelona failed to win their opening fixture since the Pep Guardiola days, about 10 years ago. And it was the goal that you've seen 50 times over, that every one of our listeners has seen 50 times over. The Auritz Auderis bicycle kick in the 88th minute, probably... no doubt the goal of the weekend, but may be a goal of the season contender. Brilliant stuff from Athletic. They were really, really good, and I think deserved to win. Barcelona just really didn't have any ideas without Messi.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I feel like Auderis is kind of everyone in La Liga's favorite player that doesn't play for their team. He's just an amazing story, and he's still awesome.
38 years old, has said he's going to retire after this season. We'll see if he...
If he still thinks that, bicycle kicks.
Yeah, that man will be scoring bicycle kicks when he's 45. I love Auderis. I always have.
Yeah. We're big fans here.
Yeah, he's awesome. So that happened on Friday. On Saturday, Celta Vigo 1, Real Madrid 3. Madrid not very good. Win by multiple goals anyway. The black magic is back. Luka Modric sent off before the hour for a stomp on the Achilles. Can't remember who it was off the top of my head, but he was sent off for breaking the new rule that La Liga has about dangerous fouls. He got sent off, but no matter. Toni Kroos scored a long-range bullet. Lucas Vazquez added a third, and Celta missed a bunch of chances. Valencia 1, Real Sociedad 1 at Mestalla. Kevin Gamero giveth, Rob. Kevin Gamero taketh away. He scored on the hour, then missed a stoppage time penalty. Mikel Oyarzabal scored a penalty of his own in the 100th minute, and there you go. La Real steal a point.
And Arsenal legend Francis Coquelin got sent off to...
That's right. He gave away
make that penalty happen.
So. Yeah, the handball that he was sent off gave away the penalty. La Real, this is a big point for them. If they can take points at the bigger stadiums, then... They will be in good shape. I think they can really contend for a Europa League place this year with the kind of attacking talent they have.
Yeah, I like their team. It's a really solid team. I mean, you look at the players in that team. I think Mikel Merino is really good. Obviously, Gerard Mendy's been great in La Liga forever now, it feels like. And Oyarzabal, this feels like a breakout season for him, I think.
Yeah, he's their leader at and still so young. He's the guy who gets the club and huge... boost that he stayed. Just huge.
Yep, and Alex Isaac, we'll see what he can do.
He's
still ultra young as well, like Odegaard.
Yeah, away from the bright lights of Sweden.
Yeah, and Dortmund, yeah.
We'll
see what he can do.
Mallorca 2, Eibar 1. Mallorca are back in La Liga, and they kick it off with a win at Samois. A Dani Rodriguez goal inside the first 5 minutes got them started, and then a Paulo Oliveira own goal after he scored Eibar's goal provided the final margin. Mallorca, still going to be tough for them. It's so tough for teams that come up through the promotion playoff because they just don't have much time to reinforce. They came up, I think, on June 23rd, so very tough for them less than 2 months later to, oh, you're in La Liga now. Great. Going to be tough for them, I think, no matter what.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough season. We've seen it in the last few years. The promoted teams really can struggle.
Yeah, but all three promoted teams picked up a point on Saturday, or better. Osasuna went to Butarque and beat Leganés 1-0, which means Leganés will be good and angry for when Atletico visit next week.
Yes, almost certainly.
Yeah, Leganés actually played very well. Ruben from Osasuna made a couple really good saves, but Chimi Avila, formerly of Huesca, scored the only goal on 75 minutes, a really nicely taken goal as well, as Osasuna get off to a winning start. Villarreal 4, Granada 4.
Woo!
North London stand up, Santi Cazorla scoring a penalty for Villarreal. Bobby Soldier, a goal and an assist for Granada, as Villarreal blew a 4-2 lead with 15 minutes to go. At home, no surprise, their defense is still really bad.
Still bad. Samuel Chukwueze, still really awesome.
Yes, nothing else. And Santi Cazorla as well, but really not much else going on there. I mean, their biggest defensive signing was Raul Albiol. There you go.
Ooh. Yeah. No, I don't think they're going to be keeping too many clean sheets.
Yeah, I've seen some predictions have them back in the top six. I do not see it. They're pretty solidly mid-table for me, like 10th or 12th. Their defense is just bad.
They'll be fun to watch.
They will. They will score goals, but won't be able to stop them. Speaking of teams with bad defenses, we move on to Sunday. Alaves 1, Levante 0. Levante just kind of tragic trying to defend a set piece. Jose Lu got the goal. Alaves win at home. I think Alaves have the defense to stay up. Levante do not. They are kind of a dark horse candidate to go down.
Yeah, I guess. They sort of stabilized in La Liga in recent years, but this squad this year is looking real thin, I think.
If they don't score goals, they will go down.
And I don't love their strikers, really. I mean, Sergio Leon's okay, but...
Well, Morales' goal is good, but he's getting a little old.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Levante may be a relegate. I think I had them in my bottom three. Espanyol 0, Sevilla 2. Good start for Lopetegui's men. Sergio Reguilon getting the first goal, and Nolito, with a kind of throwing it back to 2014, he got the second. A little worried for Espanyol. They lost two of their best players this summer, obviously Hermoso to Atleti and Borja Iglesias to Real Betis, and they may lose a third if Bayern come in for Marc Roca. Going to be difficult for Espanyol, but Sevilla are my pick for fourth, even though I don't really feel good about it. They are my pick for fourth. I like what they did with their squad.
Yeah, they have an interesting squad. I mean, Jesus Navas at right back and playing Man City legend Fernando in midfield makes me a little bit nervous. but it's good to see Oliver Torres back in La Liga.
Yeah, definitely. Kind of got... I wouldn't say a raw deal at Atleti, but didn't really shine the way he could have. At Porto, he was a bit inconsistent. I didn't watch much, but from what I read, he was a bit up and down. We'll see how he does at Sevilla. There are expectations there as a club that's in Europe every year. Betis 1, Valladolid 2. Oh, Betis. Joel Robles sent off in the first 10 minutes. Borja Iglesias injured in the first half. Valladolid get an 89th minute winner from Oscar Plano. And Betis, oh dear, not so good at home.
It's been a bad year-ish for Betis.
Yeah, yeah. If they have a healthy Borja Iglesias, I still think they're a Europa League team. But if they don't, they're right back where they were last year.
I mean, they've got some champagne players in that team with Fekir and Carvalho and even Mark Bartra to an extent.
Yeah. They have some good, and Fekir, of course, their marquee signing. Betis could be good. They could also be not good.
Valladolid looked nice. I like what they did over the summer. I like Valladolid just because I appreciate a team that plays in purple.
Yes.
So, yeah, good for them. I didn't expect them to stay up last year, and I like what they did over the summer. I still believe in Sandro Ramirez, even though that hope dwindles more and more by the day.
He has not scored a league goal in 2 years. I'm glad
he's still... No, he has not. He was really good at Malaga, though.
He was. Atleti were about to sign him until the transfer.
Yes, they were.
Oh, dearie me. All right, we now move on to Atleti, who closed out match day one with a 1-0 win over Getafe. 10-man Atleti versus 10-man Getafe. Let's see. Where do we start here? I guess it's another instance of the more things change, the more they stay the same, Rob. A 1-0 win and a bit of bunkering at the end, a little sprinkling of luck, and boom, Atleti get the season started with a 1-0 win.
Yeah, I was about to say this summer, I mean, they signed a million players and let a million players go, and here we are, talking about a 1-0 win.
Yes, here we are again. By expected goals, though, Atleti were pretty comfortable in this one. 2.45 expected goals per understat. A ton of dangerous chances from inside the box. Getafe, 0.33 XG. Their best chance was that Angel stinger off the crossbar about 5 minutes to go. Oblak did not.
Well, that was the closest they came to even getting a shot on target.
Oblak did not have a single save to make.
Yep, he didn't. He was he had the cigar out for this one, as they say. But yeah, I mean, of course, three quarters of the XG for Atleti came from that penalty that didn't end up being converted. But yeah, Atleti made some a few good chances, if not a ton of great ones. But when both teams are down to 10 men, you can't really expect a thriller, I guess.
Yeah, the game plans just went completely out the window. Alvaro Morata, he got the opening goal on 23 minutes from a Kieran Trippier assist. Atleti were really good the first 45 minutes. Then Jorge Molina got sent off for another one of those dangerous fouls to the Achilles of Tomas Partey. It went to a VAR review, and it was changed from the initial yellow card to a red. Then the Renan Lodi stuff happened. Two yellow cards in the span of about 30 seconds. The first one was for a shirt pull. No real problem with that one. The second one, a little bit of controversy, went up with Damian Suarez, one of La Liga's most notorious shithousers. Went up for a ball in the air, hand kind of came across and smacked him in the face. Didn't seem intentional, but and Suarez did play it up, but difficult to say it wasn't a yellow card. There was a lot of contact.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you could make the argument that it happened in the act of jumping. I mean, it felt in a lot of ways like a very typical mistake of a young player. I'm not going to slam him for it. I think there was a lot of unluckiness that went along with it. But also, he should learn from that. I mean, that was pretty silly. I also don't feel great about the Molina red card either. I mean, I know that that's the new rule, but I don't love that that kind of challenge is now a red, especially if it's accidental, which I would kind of say the Molina one was. I mean, it was intentional to a degree, but it wasn't like he was trying to kick the crap out of Tomas.
Yeah, I wasn't so sure about the Modric one. I thought that one was more intentional than the Molina one. This rule is not going to make it through the season because there are going to be red cards every week if this is the new rule, if this is followed to the letter. It's a total judgment call, really. Just what's the intent? How dangerous really is it? Is it a stomp or is it accidental contact? And Cuadra Fernandez, the referee for this one, I thought was really not so good. There were 41 fouls between the two teams, several yellow cards, two reds. I didn't think he had much control over the match. And in a game against Getafe, a team that likes to toe the line like Getafe does, it's really important to have control and call a tight, even game. And Cuadra just went a little card happy.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It wasn't the best refereed match. I mean, granted, refereeing a match between Atletico and Getafe is kind of a nightmare for any referee. But yeah, I think it was... I just don't like that challenge being a red. The Lodi thing, I think you can feel a little bit aggrieved with it, but I'm not as mad at that decision.
Yeah, he's going to be on the bench for the next 6 weeks, though.
More than likely, even though Atleti don't have another left back.
Yeah, that's just how these things go.
Yeah, I mean, well, and of course, Correa will be back in the team as soon as he's available.
Yippee.
Yeah.
Cannot wait.
Yeah, I mean, those were weird. The Morata goal, I thought, was actually really quite nice. I mean, I don't love Kieran Trippier, but his delivery is really, really good, and I think we saw that. I mean, that ball was from a long way out.
He had a very good game. Trippier, I think, was arguably Atleti's best player from minute 1 to minute 90. He threw in two really, really good crosses in the first half. The first one, both Morata and João Félix could have finished it, but David Soria went out and grabbed it just before one of them could tap it in. And then the connection with Morata for the goal, Morata really didn't have to do much, just kind of, I don't even really think he jumped. The cross was just inch perfect, and he headed home relatively simply. Trippier was great, and he was allowed to just persistently get forward, play the ball down the line. That connection with Morata already appears to be pretty promising.
It does. And Morata, I mean, he does what he does. He gets headers. That's his bread and butter right there. So if he has a reliable crosser of the ball like Trippier is, then that smells like goals.
Yes, it does. Probably more from the right than from the left, considering Atleti's kind of now uncertain left-back situation. So, yeah, Trippier, you expect early on this season, is going to have a lot of play, I suppose, playmaking duties, a lot of crossing duties.
Yeah, it feels like, I mean, that signing I still think is totally bizarre, and I'm surprised it happens because English players just don't really go abroad like that. But he feels like the kind of player Diego Simeone is going to really love. I thought he worked really hard. And his assist was great. I mean, Morata is stereotypically kind of like an English forward. I mean, big-time headers guy. So I feel like Trippier is going to have a good connection with him. And maybe even Costa when and if he comes back.
Yeah, that's a big if.
Yeah, it is an if.
Yeah. We've held off talking about this long enough. Let's talk about that João Félix run.
Yeah.
Early in the second half where he just annihilated three defenders and drew a penalty. Wow. The technique, the skill, the speed, especially, and then just the incredible control to just bomb up the wing like that and then draw the penalty, which Morata duly missed really badly. But wow, what a run. If you haven't seen it, it's not hard to find. It was a really, really thrilling 20 seconds or so.
It was. I mean, even more impressively, I mean, he was basically in the right back position when he picked the ball up and then proceeded to run all the way up the pitch and draw a penalty. I mean, it was kind of unbelievable. I mean, I feel like the sort of lazy comparison is him with that Juventus player, but there was, you know, there was a bit of, like, there was a bit of little caca-isms in there, you know? I mean, he's just so smooth on the ball. It's hard not to love that.
Yeah, the nutmeg, the kind of twisting and turning to evade the two defenders who closed down on him, and then just bursting ahead. Just brilliantly done. He found it difficult because of the physicality to really get any opportunities and to really get too involved in the play. Getafe, just, again, a team that toes the line, a team that went in to target him, and they did knock him out just after the hour. But, yeah, difficult first game in some senses, because Getafe are just such a difficult team to start against. But that one individual moment shows you just he could be a really special player.
Yeah, I in a match like this, we're never going to see Pete João Félix. I mean, Getafe just weren't going to let that happen. And maybe even away at Leganés next week, we won't see it. But I think maybe that home game against Eibar could be when we really see him explode against a team that's a little less angry defensively. He might get a little bit more room to play.
And he may be one of those players that decides games individually, breaks open these kind of barriers, these tight spaces with his skill and his control. He may be one of those guys that Griezmann kind of wasn't, in a sense, because Griezmann was responsible for so much more.
Right, yeah, and it was interesting, Felix's role. I mean, we talked about it since he was signed, basically. Was he going to get a free role? And it certainly seemed to me in this game that he was allowed go basically where he wanted to.
Yeah, he didn't really have a ton of the playmaking duties fall to him, and that's helpful.
Yeah, it was. It was. I thought he did well under the circumstances. It was an interesting team, actually. I mean, in terms of how the team was set up, I was kind of surprised. Obviously, the red cards kind of changed it a bit. But from the beginning, I think we saw a little bit of a snippet of what could happen.
Yep, attacking, especially from the flanks, a bit more attacking, a very high line, and some really good chance. Again, Atleti were good until the Lodi red card, and then Getafe, I think, somewhat outplayed Atleti in the second half.
Yeah, Atleti definitely kind of went into their shell after the red card, which is, I guess, understandable. I mean, it was a shame for Llorente and Hermoso that was the situation that they came into, but because I would have liked to see them playing in an 11-11 match, but we'll probably see more of them down the line here.
Yeah, it's difficult for them to debut in that situation, especially for Hermoso, not in his natural position.
Right. I thought he did well, though, under the circumstances, playing as a more defensive left back.
He did. Made a couple really important clearances. Stefan Savage was really important at the end. He intervened on those two free kicks Getafe had in the last 10 minutes.
I thought Savage was really good.
Savage was really good.
I can't
really
believe
good.
I'm saying it.
He was really good.
Yeah, he had a great game.
Yeah, really good in the air, bunch of clearances. He was quite good. So, yeah, I think what's interesting.
Yeah, I'm shocked to be saying that. Yeah, he was solid.
I think what's interesting is that the defense, at least for this game, was farther along than the attack. Although that, in a way, is to be expected against Getafe. Listen, this is a tough, tough opener. Getafe are, in a way, Atletico's doppelgangers. They're similar to Simeone's very first Atletico teams before this evolution, before the cash injection, the European successes. Getafe are kind of similar to those kind of nascent Cholo teams. And tough to play through them, even at home, tough to play through them. So it's an important 3 points, not just because Barcelona lost on Friday, but because Atleti beat this team at their own game. It wasn't pretty. It is not what we may have expected after the preseason, but in a way it's not too surprising because Getafe are just, they're awful to play against.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good match to get out of the way early, I think. And impressive that this team that really hasn't played together all that much came through it with a win. Even though Atleti do have a great record against Getafe, still, they had to work to earn it.
Yeah, that record is something else. Simeone has...
Yeah, what is it? Yeah.
Simeone's Atletico have never lost to Getafe in La Liga. 13 wins now against, 1 draw and 0 defeats. 28 goals for... nil against.
And Getafe had some really solid seasons at the beginning of Simeone's tenure.
Yeah, I mean, hey, this is a team that was fifth last year, that made a couple really smart signings over the summer. They have 4 pretty capable veteran forwards now. Not sure how far they are going to go in Europa League. Tough to say, especially since we haven't had the draw yet. But this is a team that is probably going to be up there in the top half again this year and will be difficult to play against again.
Definitely, yeah. They're a good side. I think Bordalas is a good manager. He's proven that in his time at Getafe. So they'll be frisky, and they'll pick up some results against some of the big teams, I reckon.
Yeah, and they came kind of close in this one. Though Atletico did have the best chances by far. Could have scored a second either through that Morata penalty or that Vitolo chance late when he took 2 touches too many.
Yeah, I thought Vitolo was good off the bench, though. He certainly was active, I thought, more so than he really ever was off the bench last year. So maybe he could worm his way into the plans, especially with Lemar not having a great game.
Yeah, not a very promising start for him. And Vitolo's going to push him if Vitolo is fit, which is a big if.
Yeah, we'll see on that one, but I think next week I wouldn't be shocked if Vitolo started.
Yeah, will be an interesting one. Leganés kind of going to play similarly. Atletico have not won at Butarque the last 2 seasons. A 0-0 draw and a 1-1 draw. Maybe that changes this year.
Yeah, we'll see.
You'd hope. You would hope. Let's see, what else do we have from this match? I think that's really kind of the long and short of it.
I thought Tomas was pretty good.
Tomas was good. He was sacrificed, though, on the hour because Atleti needed to play with a left back that wasn't named Saul.
Right.
Marco Llorente came on for 25 minutes. Vitolo, I think, was the most lively sub as a counterattacking outlet. Morata did a lot more running than I think he needed to do. So there are still some things that need to be worked on, and the level of intensity obviously much higher than in preseason.
What do you think the formation was? I mean, looking at it when it was 11 men.
It kind of looked like a 4-3-1-2. I think Lemar was playing more centrally.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't really figure out if you would classify it as that or as... with Lemar and João Félix on the wing, so like a 4-3-2-1 with the two wingers. But yeah, I mean, Lemar and Félix both had more free roles, which isn't something we've been accustomed to in Simeone teams.
Yeah, João dropped to the wing. Of course, the red card made things a bit more difficult.
It'd be interesting to see how that sort of wide play develops. I mean, obviously Trippier will provide some width from the right, but more than likely having an interim left back means that whoever's on that left-hand side on the wing will have to do a bit more attacking work. Probably Sal.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're right.
Just who we all want to see play left back.
Ah, jeez. Yeah, and yeah, that's about it. Atletico start the season with a win. 1-0, as one does.
Yep. Hey, 3 points, we'll take it.
As we mentioned earlier, the transfer window shuts in a couple weeks, and the squad is, I don't think it's finalized yet. I think there's going to be a renewed push for Rodrigo, especially if Correa gets done, but who knows when or if that's going to happen.
Yep, there should be a couple more outs, definitely. I don't know if they will bring in Rodrigo, just sort of thinking about how much Valencia would demand for him. But, yeah, I mean, even if it was just Correa that went out, I wouldn't hate it. It would give some of the youngsters a chance, which, as you know, I'm always a fan of. We'll see.
A little bit on Leganés, but not too much because it's so early in the week. They played well against Osasuna, had some really, really good chances. They are strong at home. Atletico know that. Will be another tight defensive game that may come down to Atleti's quality and some individual brilliance, maybe from one João Félix, who did leave injured against Getafe, but Simeone confirmed after the match that it was just a cramp.
Yeah, it didn't look too bad.
Yeah, thankfully.
But really, Leganés got totally football manager in that match against Osasuna. Osasuna got so lucky.
Yeah, like their one chance of the match ended up being a goal.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, that'll happen. So, good. Now they're nice and angry for us.
Yeah, excellent.
Just what we wanted.
Yes, well done. Fan.
Like they needed even more motivation against us.
Fantastic. Kind of similarly to Getafe, Leganés, tough, physical, defensive-minded coach. They did lose Oscar Rodriguez, though, to a stoppage-time red card. One of their more creative players was very good for them last year on loan from Real Madrid. Could be important.
Yep, definitely. Definitely. I mean, I think they have two solid strikers also. I mean, Nasiri and Braithwaite both have pretty good top-flight experience. So we'll see what they can do.
And Braithwaite was good the second half of last year.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, I mean, I imagine it'll be another one of those battles again this season for them. I don't imagine they'll be, you know, fighting for any kind of European places. But, you know, we'll see what happens. They're a tough team to play against.
Yeah, and this is their third year in Primera. They're kind of established now. They have been, they were safe by a comfortable margin the last two seasons. And Pellegrino's a good coach. He gets a lot out of this squad that doesn't have really any money to spend whatsoever.
I mean, it was a pretty solid get for them after he was sacked from Southampton. For a club like Leganés, he's a good manager.
Yeah, Pellegrino had very little time at Southampton.
No, he didn't get much of a chance.
No, he was kind of a dead man walking.
Yeah, I thought he kind of got a raw deal, but you know, he's shown a lot of promise at Leganés, so he'll probably get another job again soon.
All right. Well, that'll do it for this edition of Colchonero Chat, the premiere episode of our fourth season of production.
Woo!
And we're not stopping anytime soon.
Never.
Never.
Not until we get relegated.
Rob Walker, thank you so much for joining me on this edition of Colchonero Chat.
Always a pleasure.
Follow Rob on Twitter at rwalk03. You can follow me on Twitter at jbberen. That's JBBEREN. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon. And you can also like ITC on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. Subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of this program on your favorite podcasting platform. And finally, subscribe to the Patreon page. Become a Colchonero Chat amigo at patreon.com/Colchonero Chat. We're going to be doing some updates. We're going to kind of tweak the rewards a little bit for our dear amigos. So be on the lookout for those. Patreon.com/ColchoneroChat. We will be back next week. Until then, adios.